your clothes on. He loved you when he shined the sun down on you today. God loves you. God loves you. God really loves you. And can I say it this way? He's in love with you because he created love. Is there anybody in the building that loved Jesus today? Amen. Again, we welcome those that are joining us online, and we've come to celebrate the love of Christ because God has been good to every one of us, and we certainly thank the male chorus for reminding us that God loves us. So as we join together in the Word today, I'm going to take you to Colossians, but something was dropped in my spirit this morning that I need to let you know it works. Many of us pray because we need something from God. Is that right? But the Bible strongly admonishes us that we are to magnify his name. If you notice, and I'm going to do a series on this in October. We're going to be talking about the gift of prayer in October. But as we look at prayer, many of us want to run to God with what we need and tell him all about it as if he don't know. Talk to me in the building. But Jesus said, when you pray, say, hallowed be thy name. And God dropped something in my spirit today that it helped me understand why you need to first praise and hallow the name of God. You need a foundation for all of your prayer. So when you come to God, you must not only understand that he is able, but you also need to understand that he is willing. He's willing. God doesn't have to. He doesn't owe you or me anything. He doesn't have to give us anything, but he is willing to hear and to answer your prayer. I'll tell you more about that in October, but I just want to give you a little introduction into what we're going to be talking about, the gift of prayer. We're talking about the things that the riches of God that we have in Christ. Well, one opportunity is through prayer. And if you don't pray in Jesus' name, I doubt if your prayer is going to work. Y'all mighty quiet. I know you listen. Let me get into my main message today. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And it simply says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. From that verse I want to preach on today, make God your mission. Make God your mission. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you'd bless us now. Give us understanding as we've studied. Help us to present your word of truth, that it might be applied to our lives and that we might give you glory and that we might give you honor. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we depend upon him to help us to bring forth that word of truth, that word that will strengthen and bless, and that word will bring salvation to those that are lost. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful privilege that we have in Christ, and we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you all can remember growing up in the late 60s? Those of you that are probably around my age, some of you all, I know you can't relate to it. All right, that's fine. That's fine. But growing up in the 60s, we had this black and white TV until we finally got enough money to where we could get a color TV. And it was awesome. One of the programs we watched was called Mission Impossible. Now, they've got the later versions of it, Tom Cruise and all that. But back in the day, I used to love to watch Vic Morrow and you know, the folks that were doing their thing. They worked as a team. They worked as a team. Whether it was to rescue somebody to bring out something or to prevent some evil act from unfolding. Their mission was assigned to them. If you notice at the beginning of the program, you had to catch the beginning of the program, because someone would come on the scene and they would say, "This is your assignment." They were probably on a recording or something where they would say, "Now, this is your mission. This is your mission." Then they would explain the mission to them. But then they would say, "This message will self-destruct in 60 seconds. How many of y'all remember that? Which meant if you don't get your message right, you're not going to get your mission right. I'm preaching now, so y'all can say amen. If you don't get the message right, you won't get the mission right. We're in a dire situation in the church. According to Pew Research, back in 2021, December, they published this report that said that there are now 63% of the American population that profess that they believe in God. You know, that means you got those that are really, really dedicated, and then you got those that are not dedicated. But if they ask the question, are you a Christian? They'd say, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." 63%. Now, here's my concern. Here's my issue. 2007, they asked the same question, and it was 78%. Huh? A drop of 14% in 14 years. What in the world is going on in the church? The problem is not that people don't have something to believe in. The problem is not an issue of whether or not God is real. Question is, who's following him? Who's dedicated enough to say, "I am going to live my life for the glory of God"? Believe it or not, as we talk about mission, everybody's got one. You've got a set of priorities. You've got something that you will say, "This is what I'm doing in life." Your mission is not what you say. Your mission is what you do. Are y'all still with me in the building? I'm not going to try to get too deep in the thickets with this today, but we are living in a day where we have people concerning this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are missionless. They want God to do amazing things for them, but when it turns around and say, "Okay, what are you willing to do because you love God?" And they say, "Well, I don't know what my mission is." Colossians will tell you that your mission is this. Here's your mission. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Plain and simple. I'll explain what that means in just a second, but I'm telling you that if you're not following Jesus, I don't know who you're following. And if you're not following Jesus, I don't know where you're going. But I can tell you that if you are following Christ, if you're sincere in your faith, then God is going to lead you and direct you every step of the way. Look at somebody and say, "Make that your mission." Down in Halifax and Charlotte County, we have a large population of Mennonites. They also have a large population of Muslims, people that live there. And I've noticed something about the Mennonite people who have this basic concept of where we want to be separated from the world. You see them on their horse and buggy. You'll see the way they dress. If you see a Mennonite, you will know it's a Mennonite. Now, whether or not you believe everything they believe, that's not the point. But if you can tell a Mennonite, or if you can tell a Muslim by the way they look, Why in the world can't we tell a Christian by the way they act? Is it just me? So you've got to know what your mission is. Otherwise, you are missionless. And if you are missionless, that means that you will never reach that point in your faith where you're fully developed in Christ. Paul wrote this important scripture to the people at Colossae because he knew the stuff that they were surrounded by. He knew that they had all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of ideologies, all kinds of gods around them, and he did not want them to be influenced by those outside forces. What has happened to us as a church, we've allowed the world to come in here, and we're trying to be more like the world than we are like Christ. You got to check that. You got to make sure. I have to check my life. I have to ask myself from time to time, what is your mission? You can try to come up with a whole lot of great mission statements. My mission is this. Organizations, they have their mission statement. This is who we are, this is what we do, and this is why we do it. This is our mission. This drives us. Everything, all the resources of our life is centered around your mission. I'll tell anybody, show me your checkbook or show me how you spend your money. Show me your bank statement. I'll tell you what your mission is. Isn't that something? So if you love God, that ought to be your mission. Let's just simplify it. Let's not put all the elaborate stuff in it. Live for Jesus. Live for his glory. And that will establish you in the faith. As a matter of fact, Paul says to us clearly in these verses, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. People who suffer from mission burnout comes as a problem of where they're not really connected their sole purpose in life with the living God. When you connect with the living God, I'm telling you that the river of the Holy Spirit will flow through you. I'm talking to some believers now. The going might get rough, the hills might get high, but your oil never runs out. The oil of the Holy Spirit never runs out in your life because every time you get empty, he fills your tank back up. You ever heard the old folks say this word, I'm going to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name? What were they saying? They were saying the oil of God is flowing in my life. I can't give up. Then they come back and they tell you, I'm too close to turn around. Can I get a witness? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. So you cannot, at this point in your life, become a missionless Christian. You can't. God didn't give up on you. So why are you going to, well, I'm just going to give up. All right, it's like Jesus, you know, told the disciples one time. He said something, I'm the bread of life. Then he said, if you eat of me, then you'll have eternal life. Some folks got offended with Jesus. And the Bible said they followed him no more. But then you had some of those folk that stick with it through the thick and thin. Jesus looked at Peter and the rest of the disciples and said, are you going to leave also? And they scratched their head and said, Lord, where are we going? Only you have the words of eternal life. Make God your mission. Now, here's the good news. I'm about halfway through the sermon. Good news is this is going to be a short sermon. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. This is going to be, but it is going to be a challenging sermon. I remember at a low point in my life, I said, Lord, I'm ready to quit. And then the Lord asked me one question. Who are you serving? I said, Lord, say no more. And I'm still here in Jesus' name. Are y'all in the building? Paul put it this way. He said, for me to live is Christ. And then the other part of that verse, and to die is gain. Philippians 1 and verse 21. You've got to have a purpose for living. You've got to have a source that you can draw from so that when you get to those low points in life, you can say to yourself, I'm holding on because I got God in my life. I know that in the Mennonite community, we've done some studies. When I was in school, we did some studies of the Mennonites, and to be kicked out or to quit the Mennonite church means something. When you cease to be called a Mennonite, that means you paid and you gone, you out of here. You know, we Baptists, we kind of liberal, we got little liberal rules, you know. Well, come on back. Y'all laugh at that. But we have a system. I don't know where people would go if you don't have Christ. There's no other answer in our world than Jesus Christ. Who's going to hear the prayer of a mother who's praying over a sick child? Who's going to answer that person who has cancer? Who's going to be with the family while they're going through a time of grief and sorrow? I don't know anybody else but Jesus. Now, if we expect God to be with us, why in the world can't God expect us to be with Him? They put it this way in the Old Testament. The Israelites were married to God. They were married to Him. They had a covenant relationship. And that covenant was not broken, not even by death. Not even by death. Your covenant relationship in Christ, first of all, He's paid for everything. You got an all-expense-paid trip. So take the trip. Some of y'all miss it. Y'all so sick. You've got to go along with Him. And when you start doing that, that's when you discover life. That's when you discover the fullness of God. Don't have this one-way relationship with God. What you got to give me today? That's why we're going to get into this thing on prayer. Because first thing we ask God, oh, Lord, what you got for me? Well, what you got for Him? If it's a relationship that you have, then you certainly ought to present your best to God. As I said before, you can tell the Mennonites, you can tell them by the way they act, by the way they carry themselves. As Christians, our character ought to speak for us. No, it's not the way that you look as far as the clothes you wear, but it's the way that you look in your character. Two things are important when you talk about mission. One is your morals. You got low morals and you're saying, I'm a Christian, go back and check that stuff. Go back and check it. But then the second thing that's important in this relationship, if you're on a mission, and that is your ministry. What is your, and now we got this thing of ministry, or it means to have alphabets in front of your name and alphabets after your name. It ain't got nothing to do with that. People say, what you call yourself, Dr. Coleman? I said, no, I call myself William. That's what my mama named me. I'm not trying to be cute. But once, and again, Mom, I got to talk about Mama today. I got to talk about him. She said, now, you can't look in the mirror and watch where you're going at the same time. I said, thank you, Mama. Your ministry, how you serve. So you got to ask the critical question, who are you serving? If you're serving people that don't need to be served, you're wasting your time. Are y'all with me? And if you're trying to serve people to get them to give you praise, well, that ain't going to happen a whole lot. I've had folks that were hungry, and they turned right around and cussed me out. I picked them up something to eat. This ain't what I want. I said, Lord, have mercy. I could have kept my money in my pocket, Jesus. Your ministry. You do ministry because it glorifies God Almighty. He looks down at you and He says, that's my child. That's the one that I'm going to bless. That's the one that I'm going to use because they're obeying me. I'm telling you, there's nothing like serving the Lord. Nothing like serving Jesus. Let me hurry up and bring this argument to a close. So if you want to look at ministry, you've got to take some things into consideration. You've got to know, first of all, that God is in your life. And Paul put it this way. He said, God is my life. He is my life. For me to live is Christ. Church, you are alive. You're alive. And when you come in on Sunday morning, it's not just what the choir can bring to you, but what can you bring to help the choir? Are y'all here? By the way, another sermon I'm going to preach in October, long toward Halloween. I'm going to preach this sermon. Lord, help me in this mask. Oh, boy, you don't want to miss that one, because there's something behind that mask. Are y'all still here? People, you know, we got it in COVID. We put on a mask, but we've been wearing masks for a long time. I don't want to get into that sermon. Let me go on, get back on track. Keep me on track. So missionless living is an attempt to live for God, but it denies the power of God. Missionless living is an attempt to live for God, but it denies the power of God. The only way that God's going to really use you is that you've got to be about your Father's business. At the age of 12, Jesus said, the one priority in my life is to be about my Father's business. Yes. It's to be where he wants me to be. It's to do what he wants me to do. And it's to honor him in everything that I do. Yes. Paul later on put it this way, all that you do, whether in word or deed, do it with all your heart. Put everything in it. As my daddy said, boy, give it your best shot. Give it everything you got so that you can honor and praise the Lord. Hand clap belongs right there. Amen. Right there. Your mission involves two ingredients. We've already talked about your ministry, and we've already talked about the fact that you have to make sure that you're following God in everything that you do. But it also means that you've got to know Christ. When Paul uttered these words in Colossians 2:6, he meant what he was saying. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We're not talking about a feeling that you have. We're not talking about in the old day you had to get something on the mourner's bench. Y'all remember that? You go back to the mourner's bench, and if you didn't jump up and spin around or something like that, they tell you sit back down until you got something. A true relationship with Jesus Christ is when you get to the point where you know that you're a sinner and you know that he is the only solution to your sin, and then you ask him to come in. The choir just sung it. Let him in. Whether you're a drug addict, whether you're on the streets, whether you're wasting your life, let Jesus in, and he not only gives you salvation, he gives you life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He gives us that authority that we can now lift up our head and say, I'm a child of God. Some of you have had some tremendous passages. You've had some things that have gone on in your life, and you shook your head and said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But you did make it. Now you can lift your head up and say, God, I didn't know it at the time, but you were molding me, you were shaping me, you were helping me to understand that if I could make it through that, Lord, all I had to do was just look up to you. Say this to yourself, I'm somebody because God loves me. Say it again, I'm somebody because God loves me. The world may not appreciate who I am, but I thank God that he loves me. People might scandalize you, lie on you, call you everything but a child of God, but you know that you are a child of God because he loves you. I close by giving you a couple of things here now. You got to know Christ, Colossians 2:6, but then you got to make him known. You got to make him known. Every time I run across some things that I feel is helpful, I try to share that with my family. I try to share that with my spiritual family. All I'm telling you is what God told me. And it was good when I had it, amen? It was good when I got it, and here's what you need to do. Know Christ, that's number one, but then you've got to make him known. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus didn't send the disciples out just, well, tell them anything. Get them into a building. And then tell them, Mary had a little lamb. Fleece of my... No! He said, I'm sending you into all the world. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. Tell them who I am. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism embraces more than water, church. Yes, that's the connection that we use to visually give the representation of a life being changed. But that baptism means that you are literally being immersed into God, and God is in you. Let me tell you something. You can't be on water long before you get swallowed up by the water. That's a deep statement. At some point, Christ dominates your life. You come to Christ, you give your life to Him, and then He becomes everything that you live for. He becomes the one that wakes you up in the morning. He becomes the one that talks you through every issue of life. He becomes the one that tells you which way to go. As I get older, every day of my life, Lord, what you want me to do today? You know why? Because I'm old now. I can't see everything I need to see. Are y'all still here? God is in your life to lead you and guide you. And so Paul again says, He is my life. That's your mission. Look at somebody and tell him, that's your mission. Make Him your life. I close with these three things. First of all, you've got to know mission worship. Mission, say that with me. Mission, worship. Mission, worship. God created you to worship Him. When the devil got kicked out of heaven, he was the lead worshiper in heaven, and God immediately put out an application, say, anybody that wants to praise me, fill this in by lifting your hands and lifting your voice unto God. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God wants us to worship Him. Now, while we might look at it as lifting up our hands, dancing in the Spirit, that might be a part of it, but here's the main part. You got to imitate Him. Your true worship is in imitating Jesus. My daddy, the first time he saw me walking in his shoes, he said, that's my boy. Then the second thing, he said, get out of my shoes. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. God doesn't mind you going up to His closet in glory, grabbing a robe of holiness and putting it on. He doesn't mind you doing that. God does not mind you going and getting a belt of righteousness so it can keep you in control when you want to lose it. Are y'all still? I must be preaching to somebody. If not, I'm preaching to me. You've got to know what it means to worship God. Jesus said this when He talked to the woman at the well. He said, the true worshipers of God, they worship God in the spirit and in the truth. We can be a true worshiper, and we can make that our mission. Look at somebody again and say, make that your mission. Second thing that we got to do is have mission work. The Lord didn't just save you and take you on away to glory. Amen. Even though He's taken loved ones in your life, their time had come. And so God said, you know what? I'm going to take them on to glory. They finished their work, but you have a work to do. Notice it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That becomes the work. Well, what am I going to do tomorrow? You're going to walk in Him. You're going to walk behind Him. You're going to listen to what He says. You're going to follow His instructions. And I guarantee your work will not be in vain. Monday morning, when you get that first phone call, and you got to hold it way out here, for those of you that are still working, by the way, I'm retired, semi. And people are telling you what you don't want to hear. You got to remember that you got to walk. You got to live. You got to work in Christ. When your co-worker that you stand beside come at you with all of these complaints and start bringing your spirit down, the Lord has you there for a reason. He wants you to cheer them up where you can say, you know what, the Lord is still good. You might not be able to get a word in edgewise, but you can give them a great big smile. You can let them know that God is working in you. Here's the opportunity that we have. God has a work to do. He knows that you and I cannot accomplish this great work without His power. So what He's done, not only has He given the Holy Spirit to keep you and to preserve you, but God has given you the Holy Spirit to empower you, to embolden you, to give you words to say when you're at that moment in your life where you want to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's when He comes in. How many of y'all had that to happen? That's when God begins to settle in your life. He whispers in your ear, this is what you need to do. And here's how you need to move forward. Then the last thing as we close. We talked about mission worship. Talk about the mission work. Then finally, mission witness. Mission witness. We can tell everything about anything. And we can't tell folks about Jesus. Isn't that something? Jesus said, you are my witnesses. Acts 1 and 8. You are my witnesses. Your mission is to be a witness for the Lord. Tell everybody about the goodness of God. And sometimes all you have to do to be a witness is just keep standing for what's right. Story in the Bible, as I close with this. Story in the Bible about Daniel being promoted. He was in the Persian Empire. And that was a pagan government that he worked for. His boss was a pagan. But he saw the integrity and the character in Daniel. And Daniel had some co-workers, if I could put it that way. Daniel had some folks that they were jealous of his position, but they were also jealous about who Daniel was. He walked uprightly. And you know what they said about him? We're not going to find any fault in Daniel unless we find something in the way he worships. And they couldn't find any problem with the way he worshiped because he prayed three times a day. He honored God. He lived for the glory of God. They said, we got to find something. So they came up with a law that says if anybody worships anything other than the king for 30 days, he's going to be thrown into the lion's den. Now, many of you have read that story, but you need to see the point behind the story. Daniel had made God his mission. Even though he was serving in the Persian government as a high-ranking employee, he didn't let that go to his head. I don't need God now. I got it made. I can drive up to work in my Mercedes, or I can drive up to work, you know, in my golden chariot. He didn't let that stuff get to his head. Y'all still with me? But his co-workers didn't like him. So they got the king to sign the decree and said, okay, oh king, once it's signed into law, you can't reverse it. See, the king had a plan that he was going to promote Daniel to be over everybody else. Same situation about Joseph in Egypt. That was going to be the situation with Daniel. He was going to be second in rank to the king. And they said, no, no, we ain't going to let this happen. Some of you that are listening to me right now, you got situations at work where you did a good job, folks getting ready to promote you, and other folk ain't talking to you no more. They ain't even speaking to you anymore. Why? Because something is happening in you. And it didn't happen because of your job. It happened because your mission was God. Daniel said, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe God. And what I'm telling you is that you need to trust God right now that He's going to see you through everything. So what they did, when they found out that Daniel had not stopped praying, that he was continuing to pray three times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem, they said, you know what? We're going to report this to the king. So they brought the report to the king and said, yes, we've documented it. You need to arrest him, and you need to immediately throw him into the lion's den. Daniel didn't get mad. I'm going to call the NAACP. I'm going to call the ACLU. No, he called on Jesus. He called on the Lord of glory. Are y'all still here? What did he do? Walked on down to the lion's den. The lions were growling, but he knew that in glory, God had some assurance, not insurance, but assurance. I could hear God saying to him, Daniel, I didn't bring you this far to leave you now, son. Keep walking. Our verse did say, walk ye in him, right? Daniel was not walking in himself. He was walking in Jesus. And when you're walking in Jesus, amen, you can do some high stepping. And the king, being so distraught, the Bible said when they put Daniel in the den, he thought it was all over, but he couldn't sleep that night. Amen. But the king didn't know that God was working it out. Sometimes when you can't see his hand, you got to trust his heart. You got to know that he can do what no other power can do. My mama said he's a way maker. He's a burden bearer. He's a friend if you need a friend. Walk on, Daniel. He went down into the lion's den. But that night, something happened to the lions. You say, what did they do? Did they lose their appetite? No, they had an appetite. They just couldn't get their mouth open. Come on, somebody. Isn't it something? The situations that would devour you can't get its mouth open? Shout yes, somebody. The problems that would destroy you can't destroy you because God's got his arms wrapped around you. My grandma said he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Then she said, and the joy. Anybody got joy in here today? When you make God your mission, you can go anywhere, look anything in the face, and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Let me take a praise break right here. Let me give God some glory. Hallelujah, somebody. So you got to trust him. Early the next morning, king came down to the den of lions, heard the lions roaring, but he didn't hear Daniel. He said, oh, Daniel, is your God able? And Daniel said, live long, O king. In other words, man, we cool. We good to go. Our God has been with us, and he's closed the mouths of the lion. My point is this, as I go to my seat, when you think about the goodness of God, how good he's been to you and what he has done for you, how he walks with you every day. Don't get discouraged when things don't turn out right. Let God know that you are thankful to be on a mission for the king. You're not serving just anybody. You're on a mission for the king. And the king said, smile. The king said, have the joy of the Lord in your heart. The king said, praise him. You're on a mission for the king. When you walk out of here today, and those of you that are online, when you sign off today, know that you're on a mission for God. God is your mission. He's the one that you love on every day, and you tell him, glory be to his name. Church, let's be about our Father's business. Forget about all this other little stuff. It's going to pass away anyway. Why are you getting all ruffled up, getting your feathers all ruffled over stuff that don't matter? God matters. And your life in God matters to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today. And I don't know who else got the message, but I sure did. Sometimes the way gets rough, the going gets hard, but you never let go of us. And every morning you wake us up bright and early, and you remind us of your great love. I don't know what to say, Lord. I'm searching for words to fully describe how wonderful you are and how blessed we are to serve you. So we as a church, we come today confessing that we don't have anything. All we've got is ourselves. But Lord, as we present ourselves, then you fill us with your glory. And that's great, Lord. That is great. That is wonderful. But let us take this glory and share it with somebody else. pray that you'd bless that one that needs to make that decision for Christ. That they would surrender and give you all. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said, amen. I want to give the invitation of everyone today. And ask that everyone stand.